neurologist, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
AEW hits two Grand Slams. Tony Khan honors Owen Hart. And get ready for Extreme Rules. Minus the extreme. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. My name is Jason Agnew, and we are Canada's wrestling radio show, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery, and coming at you from pillar to post and coast to coast on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Talk Network. This week, I have my regular chat with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter to talk about Tony Khan making all the right moves, the five stars that Meltzer gave Kenny versus Bryan, and John Jones arrested once again. Then my longtime broadcasting partner, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, joins me to talk a big week for AEW with their two Grand Slam shows and preview what looks to be a very lackluster yet not very extreme WWE pay-per-view, plus another birthday edition of Turnbuckle Trivia. Remember, if you're looking for our Extreme Rules review show, we may be doing it live right now on the After Party, which follows tonight's pay-per-view. You can attend if you're a patron. Sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio and get your link to watch and listen now. Taking a break, and I'll be back with Dave Meltzer. It's happening next, right here on Sunday night's main event.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fueling the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks in balance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
Sunday night's main event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNMEradio. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Let's get into the news of the week in the world of wrestling, and we are going to start talking about something positive coming out of what was something very negative many years ago. Dave Meltzer joins me, the editor of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. And Dave, you know, we've talked about what great steps Tony Khan has taken to bring wrestling fans back to the product, and this is probably the most endearing thing he's ever done, partnering up with the Owen Hart Foundation, and there is going to be an Owen Hart tournament in AEW. This just feels like something that is going to make all wrestling fans feel great and toss out the proper respect that Owen Hart deserves.
Yeah. And I didn't even know this was coming, but I knew that, you know, Chris Jericho was kind of a conduit to a lot of this, and it's been something that's been talked about for a long, long time, because I can remember, and it was months ago, where I think that I had mentioned something to Tony Khan personally about, like, you know, you should do a Brody Lee tournament.
Right.
And he said, we've got an idea, but it's not that. So that tells me that, I mean, I never heard anything since, but obviously this was the idea. And I do know that the talks have gone back probably since Jericho and Martha Hart worked together on the Dark Side of the Ring. You know, because Jericho did, you know, she did his show, and she did my show, which was actually through Jericho, you know, was actually what happened, in the sense that, that she didn't really want to do media afterwards, but Jericho Jericho basically said, you do Dave, you know, so she did, and she was very fantastic to deal with, I have to say that, as far as just everything goes. What a absolutely sweet woman, you know, and considering, you know, the tragedy she's been through, and, you know, come through on the other end to do so much good for so many people, and because of that, and just because of, you know, just the whole nature of Owen Hart being a guy everybody liked, a really good, really great guy, I like the idea, I think everyone should like the idea that he's going to be memorialized. I mean, in this annual tournament, they're going to work together with the Owen Hart Foundation, which is a great charity, and yeah, I see like nothing but positive across the board. It's a great move by AEW, and it's, and from a wrestling standpoint, it's good, because we all know Martha Hart was vilified for decades for this idea that she hates wrestling and she's trying to ruin Owen's legacy, when, you know, she just, the deal is she never wanted to work with WWE and felt strongly that WWE should never profit off of Owen's name. She felt very, you know, and from her perspective, I can understand that, especially when you go through and you know, really read the story and really analyze the story of the death. You know, it's like I could see where she's coming from. I never was, you know, mad about it or anything like that. But I think it is good that, I think it's a great move by AEW, yeah. And, you know, some people will probably take it in the wrong way, but you really shouldn't in this one. This is really all a positive.
I think it's really great, and I think it's going to allow fans to really pay Owen the respect he deserves, and it's going to be a feel-good scenario. But one thing I did want to ask and get your opinion on here is, obviously, the first thing many wrestling fans will say if you're doing a tribute to Owen, you're going to want something presented by Brett. Brett does have a slight affiliation with AEW in presenting their title, but I don't know about Martha and Brett and how well they get along.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, they don't get along anymore. Yeah, I mean, they were close at one point, but I don't think they get along now. Yeah, you know, it's, I mean, it would be wonderful if Brett was involved. Perhaps he will be. I don't know, but you know, I don't know that Brett's, you know, I put this way, I don't believe Brett's part of this deal. Mm-hmm. And you know, Brett still has an affiliation with WWE, but you know, he did present that belt in AEW. And he does have friends in AEW, and, you know, whatever Brett is comfortable with doing, you know, if he's comfortable being part of it, he'll do it, and if he's not, he won't, and that's his decision.
Let's talk AEW Grand Slam, two great nights, Omega versus Bryan. People were waiting. We've seen it now. 5 stars. Dave, though, any question to putting this on first, or was it the right place?
Well, I mean, like, you're looking at a different way. If you're looking at maximizing the television rating for that show and beating WWE because of how close it was during the week, then it should have gone on last. But I think that in the big picture, in this case, if you want to do a 30-minute match and you don't want to be pressured by maybe something goes long early, and also the thing with Dynamite is that you have less commercial breaks early, the way they stagger the commercial breaks. So to present the match with the fewest interruptions and present the match in the best way the match could be presented, you would go on first. And because the idea is of the match, to me, the idea of the match is to present this classic match in the best way possible on television, and also use it to build a rematch. Because when it was over, it's like I wanted to see a no time limit match or a championship match or whatever coming out of it. And you had more commercial breaks and you saw less of the match and you lost a little bit of the flow, that presentation would not be as great. So I looked at it as sacrificing a little bit in the ratings to accentuate more of the positive of the match. So under normal circumstances, I would completely disagree, but this was a unique situation with that match where I just wanted to see the most, you know, the fewest commercial breaks, the most of the match, and let it, you know, kind of, you know, build in the greatest form to build the pay-per-view. So I do agree with it, but as a general rule, I would disagree with it.
AEW, we've talked about, is not big on rematches. Obviously, this plays towards a rematch. Do you believe that this is the all-out main event?
All Out September next year. I think you mean Full Gear.
Oh, sorry, Full Gear. Yeah, Full Gear.
Yeah, I think so, but I'm not sure. You know, Yeah, I'm not sure. I think Wednesday's TV will kind of tell if on Wednesday's TV you have Omega and Danielson doing promos, you know, heavy on building another match, then yes, Full Gear would be the place. If they don't, I don't know. I mean, the only other option I see for Omega is bringing back Adam Page, and that's going to happen at some point. I mean, Omega Adam Page is going to happen, just a question of when and everything. So that's the choice, you know, that again, that's the Tony Khan choice. You're going to go with a Danielson rematch, you're going to go with Adam Page. I would go with a Danielson rematch because I think it's the fresh, hot thing right now. Then I would go with Adam Page early next year and give Adam Page's return a big build and everything like that. I actually thought Adam Page might show up in New York. Like when they were beating him down, when they were beating down Danielson at the end, I thought Adam Page, I was sitting there going like, Adam Page is going to make the save. This is the time, the place, there's 20,000 people, blah, blah. It didn't happen. So then I thought, well, if it didn't happen now, then maybe the Adam Page match isn't right away.
AEW is going MMA here. Jorge Masvidal, is he lined up to do a match? And how did this even come about? Is this a Dana and Tony thing that's happening?
Well, it's more a Dan Lambert thing, okay. but the thing, you know, Dan, because they're all Dan Lambert's
yes.
team, okay. And Dan Lambert, you know, is a lifelong wrestling fan, who's a great promo guy. And, you know, they came up with this concept of this thing. But Dana could have blocked it. I mean, Dana has the right to block all of these guys. And Dana and Tony Khan, which a lot of people don't know, are very good friends. So he, you know, he allowed it to happen. Will he allow Masvidal to do a professional wrestling match? He might. I don't know. They let Kane, you know, Kane was under contract when he did the first matches. And, you know, there was a period where he absolutely would not have allowed it. But, you know, then he started allowing some guys to do stuff in Japan, and nobody died or anything, got hurt badly, so I think he's more open to it. But as far as, is Masvidal going to do a match? That I don't know. You know, I saw, like, when I watched the thing on Friday, when they showed the segment, you know, it was really, you know, Junior, I know Junior wants to do it, Junior Dos Santos. I thought Paige Van Zandt was definitely highlighted, mm-hmm. almost like, okay, she's probably going to do something. And she's talked about doing wrestling for years. And Masvidal, I don't know Masvidal enough to know if he's a wrestling fan, but he gets aspects of it, just the way he dressed.
Yep.
He's got a certain thing.
Yep.
I mean, and people knew who he was. When he showed up on his own, the place popped, you know, which I didn't know. You know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of the, like Arlovsky and everything, who was a big, big star in UFC. When he comes out, it's kind of an anonymous thing. It's, you know, he's just kind of standing there. And even Junior, who was, you know, in that great trilogy with Cain Velasquez, you know, they didn't really act big to him, but they absolutely did react big to Masvidal, who, of course, is more of a newer star and one of UFC's biggest draws right now.
Yeah, but you're right with the dress and just the way that he carried himself. He stuck out from the pack, and he got the final blow as well, so it does seem like he was spotlighted. More so curious with this, Dave, is when we were talking off-air, and Tony and Dana are pals, which blows my mind because politically they seem like they're on the exact opposite ends of the spectrum.
I don't know Tony's politics that well. I know Dana's because he makes it
yes.
very clear. Tony stays out of that.
Right.
I mean, I've talked with him about stuff, but it's never in depth on politics because it's just not really relevant to me unless he does something that's, you know, if he does something where it comes up, yeah, then it would be. But as far as friends go, yeah, Dana and Tony are friends. They promoted I think they were friends before, but they promoted a Machine Gun Kelly concert together, co-promoted a concert at Daly's place, and, you know, have a great relationship. And that's, you know, one of the reasons probably why Dana, you know, because Dana could nix all, like I said, he could nix mm-hmm. all of this.
Yeah.
Junior's not with him. Paige isn't with him. You know, Paige is bare knuckle fighting. But, you know, Andre's still under contract, and Masvidal, who's the key guy, is still under contract, so he could nix those guys.
Hmm. That's super interesting. Yet another door that Tony has managed to open. Good on him. One door that may remain shut, though, is the one to Ric Flair entering AEW. We talked about that last week. Ric Flair responding this week via Twitter, making a statement about everything that happened on Dark Side of the Ring, just basically saying this is not the truth that's come out. Were you surprised that he said anything as opposed to just trying to stay quiet?
I thought he had to say something. So I wasn't surprised, But, you know, no matter what he said, I think it was going to turn out bad. He could have been quiet, but I thought, you know, I don't know that being quiet is the right thing. I think most people told him to be quiet. Mm-hmm. So what I thought he should have done was different from most. But, you know, he said what he's going to say. I don't know how this one plays out. You know, Rick has been, I don't want the term used, bulletproof. Rick's done a lot, and he's, you know, because he's Ric Flair, and there's no doubt, you know, and also a lot of his stuff was from a different era, and yeah. Things were just different. But this was from that era, in a sense, but it looks bad by today. And it was bad, you know, as far as the exposing himself goes, I mean, it's weird because it's the wrestling world, but it is bad if it's done, especially with someone who is not part of the wrestling world. You know, it's just different rules, so to speak. So someone who's it's unwarranted, it's unwanted. Like if he did that with people who wanted it or was part of that scene, it's one thing. But a stewardess or a flight attendant on an airplane who is not part of wrestling, that aspect of it, no, that was bad. And then the other thing, you know, that he denies, and you know, she was, you know, her stuff on Scott Hall and Rick was very moving on the show, and that's why, you know, there's so much negativity on Rick right now.
Let's talk WWE. You know, we have Extreme Rules tonight, but going forward beyond that, we have a draft on Friday. Who do you see moving around on this draft?
I mean, like, the only names I've heard a lot is Big E to Raw, which I think is almost like a given now, and reuniting the New Day, and then, which makes sense. I don't know if they ever should have broke them up, but in a sense, okay, like, it did help Big E in the long run being away from them and getting that singles thing, and now he's a champion. And I think McIntyre going to the other side just feels like it, just the way McIntyre's been booked. But, I mean, look, there's probably going to be a lot of movement. I mean, one thing I thought was really interesting was Ziggler. You know, Ziggler has a second career as a comic.
Yeah.
And he tours everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he was noting that he could not book dates until he finds out. And they don't tell people in advance.
Right.
You know, maybe John Cena they would tell in advance. Maybe Roman Reigns I would guess they would. But almost anyone else, they don't tell anyone. I mean, you know, you've heard the stories of top guys, Dave Bautista and, you know, Jim Ross.
That's the famous one where he got up live on TV and no one had told him.
And the night before they told him he wasn't. That's the thing that's why he was more bitter. It was not so much that they didn't heads up him, but they actually told him the opposite the day before so they could get his reaction on the air, and, you know, he wasn't happy about it. But with, like, Ziggler, it's like he cannot book his future dates until he finds out what days he's got free. And, you know, does he have Friday free every week or does he not? So it was and that's something that people don't really think about. And a lot of guys who, like, have sons who are high school football age, just as an example, they would rather be on Raw because they could get the Friday off if they're on Raw. But often that doesn't work out because they're doing, you know, WWE is doing what they want to do and they're not consulting with the guys. So, everyone's in play. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know. And it hasn't been, like, some years there's a lot of talk about what happens and they can still change their mind anyway. But, I mean, and again, even with McIntyre, I'm just looking at it from the fact that they beat him a lot, and that's kind of like what they would do. If they, like, the next week or so, if there are certain guys who get beat in a sense, in a way that you would think, wow, that's a surprise, that could be, even on tonight's show for that matter, that could be a hint. But then again, you know, they may be throwing things out there to hint you the wrong way, too. So yeah, it's really, aside from Big E, you know, who I really do think is probably going to end up on Raw because he's got the belt, I think that everyone's up in the air.
Yeah, I mean, McIntyre and Reigns have unfinished business, so I kind of saw that. And then the latest tease of Lashley and Reigns seems to be in play as well, and those are the two most protected guys on the roster.
I could see Lashley moving over right now, but then you would have to send... who would you send over for Big E? Because without Lashley,
right,
there's nobody
right.
There's nobody on Raw really ready at that level. Would you send Seth Rollins? I mean, maybe. And he and Seth Rollins have done some matches at the house shows, so maybe. I don't know.
All right, and finally, Dave, to end off on a real crappy note, once again, John Jones arrested, charged with battery, domestic violence. This guy is just a mess. He's just a mess of a human being.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of details on it, but and exactly what happened, but it's another arrest. And just the way Dana reacted, you know, in the sense of, God, because John Jones was in Vegas for the Hall of Fame. They inducted his match with Alexander Gustafsson, one of the great matches of all time. And then he goes, like, he can't be here for 12 hours without problems. And, another arrest. And, you know, one of the things with guys who've had, like, multiple arrests, multiple DUIs, things like that type of thing, it's like, you know, for everyone you hear about and they're arrested for, how many do we not hear about?
Yep.
And, you know, when it's like one time, you can kind of go, well, it's one time, maybe it's a one-time mistake. But when it's multiple, even though usually it probably isn't, but when it's multiple, you're going like, you know, for every time he's arrested, you know, I mean, how many? 5, 10, 15 things that he's not arrested for?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, John, what can you say about John? Incredible, incredible talent as a fighter. And it's almost incredible that with his lifestyle that he's been so dominant as a fighter, which really tells you about his athletic ability and his training and things like that. But man, he can't, you know, every time he says he's changed and he's learned from his mistakes, and then another one happens and you just go, I mean, he just, what do you feel? He's just a phony, right?
Yep.
That's the conclusion you come to.
Yep. For sure. Dave, that is great this week. Thank you so much. What's coming up in the Observer, people to look forward to?
Just more coverage of what's going to happen. Obviously Extreme Rules, and, got to get to the Hall of Fame season pretty quick in the next couple of weeks. And a lot of people started talking about that. So we'll be writing about that in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, a lot of this issue's got some business comparisons with AEW and WWE. It is, which is always interesting to me, because whenever I go through them, I kind of learn something. And the thing is both companies are strong right now. They are both growing. AEW is growing faster. AEW has also made a lot of moves that, you know, in the last couple of weeks that would increase their growing. That doesn't mean that they continue to grow at that rate. So I kind of find this is the most interesting time for the wrestling business since 1999. It really is. And, you know, people should be thankful. I just wish that Japan and Mexico would get back, and that's completely out of control of the companies. But, you know, if we had a strong New Japan to go with a strong, you know, pretty strong stable AEW and super incredibly strong WWE, what a great business this would be. And we got two of the three, though.
Two out of three ain't bad. That's what Meatloaf says. So yeah. We'll roll with that, Dave. We'll talk to you next week at this same time. Thanks so much.
Okay, have a great week.
Dave Meltzer is here every week on Sunday Night's Main Event, but you can check him out every day at WrestlingObserver.com. Got to take a break as... Mr. Michael Ade, born Marvin Ade, takes us to that break. When we come back, we'll say happy birthday in our turnbuckle trivia today. That is next, then the mouth a little bit later. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. Close to how to three.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
Turnbuckle Trivia time on Sunday Night's Main Event. We have two players on the line, two patrons on the line to play the game. First of all, he's jumping in at the last minute here, but it pays to be on the Sunday Night's Main Event Facebook page whenever, wherever. He's getting thrown into this as a sub. It's Tony from Virginia. Tony, you're just thrown right into this. How's your confidence level?
Well, you know, after last week's nothing tie, I think I can't do too much worse.
Well, that is true. I mean, I will give you that. Now, you are playing versus a Facebook board celebrity, Matthew Smith, who is the ultimate troll for Dan Lavransky. So you're already on my good side, Matthew.
All right. Well, I'll try to use that to my advantage.
All right, guys, here we go. So now today, do either one of you know whose birthday it is today in WWE?
I have no idea.
Good stuff. All right, guys, today we're wishing Asuka a happy 40th birthday, which means she's probably going to be tossed to the curb knowing WWE. Actually, we haven't seen her for a while, so maybe she already has. Let's do some Asuka trivia, guys. Tony, you are player one. Matthew, you are player two. I'm going to start with a multiple choice question for each one of you to get you warmed up. Here we go, Tony. Multiple choice. What is Asuka's real name? Is it Kaori Husaka, Kano Yurai, or Masami Odate?
A.
Yeah, that is not. That is Kairi Sane, actually. Asuka's real name is Kanako Yurai. And then the third one I gave you, Masami Odate, is Io Shirai's name. So that is an incorrect answer. Matthew, I wanted to keep it fair, so I'm giving you multiple choice. Before Asuka was a professional wrestler, what career did she have? Was it graphic designer, nurse, or flight attendant?
This one I know. This might be the only one I know. It's graphic designer.
That's the correct answer. Yeah, she was a graphic designer, then got into wrestling. Very good. All right, now you guys are on your own. So here we go, Tony. What was the original and primary name Asuka used while wrestling in Japan?
I don't know.
It was Kana, or Kana, K-A-N-A. Over to Matthew for the next one. Asuka, under the name Kana, would make her North American debut in 2011 for which organization, Matthew?
It was probably wasn't NXT WWE. I'll take a shot in the dark and say Ring of Honor.
It was not. It was Shimmer, actually, that brought her to North America first. All right, Tony, back to you. Now, we're going to go back in the history books for this one. We're going to visit, I won't even tell you the date, but WWE would announce the signing of Kana at a press conference September 8th, 2015, making her the first Japanese woman to sign with the company since whom, Tony?
That's going to sound like such a Mark answer, but I'm just going to guess Bull Nakano.
That's the correct answer.
Very good,
Tony. Back into the history books. 1994 was the last signing. Congratulations, you got it. 1-1. Here we go, Matthew, to you. And we'll see if you remember this. Asuka would wrestle her first match for WWE. It was on the NXT brand, which I'm sure you know. It was at NXT TakeOver Respect on October 7th, 2015. Who'd she beat? Who did WWE put her in the ring with first?
You know, I've probably seen 3 episodes of NXT in my entire existence. Another guess, I'm going to say Sasha Banks.
Great guess, but
I
know
this one.
Do you, Tony? What is it?
Was it Mickey James?
It wasn't Mickey James. No, you're thinking the... And let's see, it's not a future question. You're thinking the Toronto match that was supposed to be Trish, but Trish was actually pregnant, so that's when they called Mickey and how Mickey got back into the company. Her debut, though, guys, believe it or not, they thought, let's put her in with someone great. Dana Brooke.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't believe it when I look back. Okay, it is one run right now, and 1-1, Tony, to you. Asuka would win the NXT Women's title on April 1st, 2016, at NXT TakeOver Dallas. Who did she defeat?
Bayley.
That's the correct answer, Tony. Very good. All right, Matthew, back to you. Now, Asuka would relinquish the NXT title. She'd move to the main roster. That's probably good for you, Matthew, saying that you didn't really watch NXT. Her main roster debut took place at the 2017 TLC pay-per-view, and who did she defeat?
I'm going to throw it out there again. I already used the answer. I'm going to say Sasha Banks again.
It was not. It was, of course, Dana's former partner in
Mandy
NXT.
Rose?
In NXT. At one time, Dana and Emma were a tag team, and Emma would have been the correct answer. Remember her?
Tennille Dashwood? Yeah.
Tennille Dashwood, yeah. All right, 2-1 right now. That means, Tony, if you get this, you've won. If you don't, that means Matthew has the chance to tie. Tony, Asuka is also the first winner of the inaugural Women's Battle Royal. Who was the final person she eliminated to win?
and Becky. No, damn it. Did that count?
No.
Charlotte,
you,
wasn't it?
Well, it's up to you. What are you guessing here? Final answer.
Charlotte.
It was not. It was the worry of all wrestling fans, and the unanimous cheer happened when she eliminated Nikki Bella, who was returning to the ring.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And we all thought, oh, no, it's going to be Nikki. Oh, no. That was a great Royal Rumble, though, if you remember. It was Asuka and Nakamura that won.
Yep.
Real great. Yeah. It did both of them, but wow, a night that was great. Matthew, a chance to tie. Here we go. Asuka would win the SmackDown Championship in 2018, but wouldn't win the Raw Women's title till it was handed to her by Becky Lynch after the Money in the Bank match. Who did she lose that title to?
Shoot. I don't know. I'm just going to throw someone out there. I don't know. Sonya Deville.
Matthew? You're gonna want to punch yourself in the face.
This was Sasha.
It was Sasha Banks. I was like, he's gonna get this. He's gonna get it. But you did not get it. It is a 2-1 victory. Tony subs in to get himself a t-shirt. Matthew, I look forward to you taunting Lavransky much more. That is rewarding for all of us. So thank you for doing that. And Tony, a t-shirt is on the way. Thanks for playing, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, thank you.
And remember, if you're thinking that you would have known a whole bunch of those answers, then sign up to be a patron and get the opportunity to play. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio. When you play Turnbuckle Trivia, you can win a t-shirt, one of our t-shirts, from ballergear.ca. And Darren from Baller Gear is always, always, always putting a whole bunch of new t-shirts on the website. The Smack Daddies just got a t-shirt. So you can check that out at ballergear.ca. We got to take a break. We'll come on back. Lavransky's going to yell and scream next because, hey, that's what he does. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matthew Ederer.
And we're still the Young Guns.
Even though, mathematically speaking, we aren't getting younger.
Every Wednesday morning, you can wake up to our show on the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon feed.
That show is NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT. We also rate every match and rant about the wrestling world.
The show is NXT Talk, and you can find it on SNME Radio's Patreon feed. That's patreon.com/SNME Radio.
Welcome back. It is Sunday Night's Main Event, and on pay-per-view nights, we do a live show for all of our patrons. Tonight is Extreme Rules, and you can find myself and Dan the Mouth Lavransky broadcasting live, audio and video. All you have to do to watch it is sign up to be a patron at patreon.com/SNME Radio. We will get you hooked up to get your full-on review. So the segment you're about to hear is Dan Lavransky and I chatting about some good stuff, because Extreme Rules won't be good, but some good stuff that happened this week. Mouth, you cover this each and every week. You have the best product to cover right now. It's AEW. The events are called Grand Slam, and I'm pretty sure you're saying AEW hit a Grand Slam this week.
It was amazing. Yeah, both shows were really, really amazing. That Wednesday show was just off the charts for Dynamite, and what a presence they had with the Arthur Ashe Stadium, 20,000 people, and just the reaction to Omega and Bryan Danielson, and really the reaction to almost everything on the show. They really did hit it out of the park this week with both shows.
Now, I asked Meltzer this already. Were you surprised that the first thing that you saw on Dynamite was Omega and Daniel Bryan?
Nope. Not in the slightest. In fact, I thought it was smart, because if you watch Dynamite, you know that that first opening block is the longest block you can have without commercials. And I knew that they would want these two guys to have a longer match. And so that didn't surprise me. And plus, honestly, Jay, they're still in that period now where WWE fans and maybe even lapsed wrestling fans right. are just finding out that Bryan Danielson and CM Punk are now back and are part of another organization. And I always think it's smart for the next little while to have those two near the beginning of the show in case somebody does tune in and starts to watch and goes, oh, my God, there they are. And I think, you know, if you're a Daniel Bryan fan or Bryan Danielson, American Dragon, whatever you want to call him, and you see that as the opening match on the show, I think you're going to be pretty well hooked and you're going to stick around and check out the rest of the show. So I thought it was very smart.
So where do you go from here of your booking? We got the draw, which I don't really think any fans had a problem with a draw there. Where do you go from here? Is this your main event at the next pay-per-view?
Well, it depends. You know, the way it's looking to me, I think they might follow one of those classic feuds like Omega had with Okada in Japan, or even the one that Samoa Joe and Punk had in Ring of Honor, where they're going to build it up a bit. And I would not be surprised if they wrestle again, maybe at the pay-per-view, although I don't know if they would hold it off that long. But I could see them having another match with a longer time limit and that going the limit as well. And then perhaps maybe doing, I don't know, Iron Man or maybe something where there is no time limit. But I think this is just the beginning of the story. Like people are saying, oh, they rushed into this and they put Danielson and Omega together so quickly. It's like, maybe, but I think this is just the beginning of the story. So I think this is going to stretch past the pay-per-view. I think this is going to keep going.
Well, you know, you said they rushed into this, or people have said that, and I don't have a problem with it. I think that this was highly anticipated, and you got it, so strike while the iron is hot. Now, I will say one thing that they are not rushing into is a high-profile program with CM Punk. I mean, he's matched up with Hobbs right now, and honestly, I see what they did to promote him on Dynamite, but on Rampage, but on Dynamite, I'm starting to feel like he's a bit of a cheerleader.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's they just like having that crowd reaction on their television, because that to me seems like such a big part of it. Him coming out, the entrance, the crowd going wild. I don't even think lately it's even mattered that much what he's had to say. The crowd just loves him, and I think that they want to kind of present that image to the fans watching as well. But I don't have a problem with this either. I don't mind Punk having a couple of smaller end feuds to maybe help some of the younger guys and make them look good. But although by the same token, I'm not really sure who you put them with for that first big, big, big program. Like, do you hold off and build up Adam Cole and do something with Adam Cole? It's a tough one with Punk. It doesn't seem to be as clearly defined where they want to go, or if, like you say, they perhaps just want him to be a cheerleader at this point, perhaps.
I don't know. I think that there's, maybe at this point, but obviously there's huge, huge interest in Punk at some point being up there in the title picture. I realize everybody can be there, but,
right.
You know, there's so many guys I could say that about right now that I'd like to see get that program, which bodes very well for the longevity of the belt and all the storylines.
Well, absolutely. And I think we also have to remember as well, Adam Page, right?
Because
It really looks like I'm seeing with this Dark Order thing that perhaps, even though most people want to see Bray Wyatt come in as the leader, I really don't think that's going to happen. I think Page is going to come back shortly to help kind of fix that. So, I mean, does he end up getting back into the title picture? Like we do something with Page and Punk? But I mean, there's so many combinations and things that you can do. That's kind of what's so great about this, Jay, is that none of it is really stale. It's all pretty fresh matchups and programs, right? And there's so many different ways you can go with these guys.
And that is the biggest advantage that AEW has over WWE is that Nothing is stale. Not only is the product fresh, but all these matchups are fresh as well. And that is my biggest complaint about WWE. It's the repetitive nature of all the matches over and over again. And also the storyline's not making sense. But repetitive matches is the worst part of things.
Yeah, and it's something the WWE really has, the last 10 years or more, it's really gotten out of control. Like, how many times have we watched a pay-per-view, Jay, and we thought, wow, there's the big match, and then the big match is the next night again on Raw.
Yep.
Like, that leads to staleness and that. Whereas these guys are good that way, whereas they don't, if there's a big program, they don't necessarily return to it right away. They might come back to it later, but they just have so much fresh talent and fresh matchups that they don't have to do with that. Whereas the WWE, they just seem to get stuck in this kind of one pattern, and it's just over and over. It's also because, as we always say, they've got so much TV and product to fill. But it's also laziness. I think it's laziness. They get lazy, and it's like, okay, well, we'll just do the rematch on Monday or whatever.
You mentioned fresh programs. Two guys that are young to the business, MJF and Pillman Jr., that is, being in a program right now. Were you surprised that Pillman didn't get the win here?
Yeah.
Me
sorry,
too.
No. Actually,
no, you, no, I
no,
was.
No, no. No, no, I wasn't. No, I wasn't. No, because I don't think it's time yet.
Okay.
I don't think it's time. MJF is super hot. He's one of the strongest guys on the roster. And the other thing, too, Jay, if you think about it, it has been a long time outside of the Jericho stuff that we've really seen MJF in the ring much at all. So I thought the first program outside Jericho, I don't think he should be taking any losses. I was not surprised that MJF won. I totally thought he would.
I'm just curious how long they let this Wardlow thing trickle along. I kind of thought that's how the win would come, if Wardlow somehow botched and that's how Pillman snuck the win.
Well, you know the AEW motto, though, Jay, is simmer. Let things simmer. Right?
We leave it. So, we're making a stew.
We are. And it's got to sit and simmer. So they teased it. The last, I mean, there really wasn't even anything with Wardlow in this particular situation.
Nope.
So they're really letting that one simmer, and I think they probably want to wait for the right guy before they pull the trigger on that one.
Malakai Black and Cody Rhodes. Brandy returns. Cody somehow gets into it with Arn. Did we see a double turn on Wednesday?
You know what? This was tough, Jay, because Cody, like we've seen this in the past in AEW, Cody, if he's in there with a baby face, will tend to wrestle like a heel. It's just the way he is. All this stuff with Arn, I think, was partially a mistake because poor Arn slipped off the apron during the match at the beginning, right? He wasn't, I don't think that was supposed to happen. And then they went back and kind of did the spot that they were going to do. So I think that was kind of threw everything out of whack. But it might be worth doing because if you listen to the crowd, Jay, they don't like Cody.
No.
And they love Malakai Black.
Well, you know,
it might actually be the way to go. The only thing is a guy doing the reality TV show and super baby face in the reality TV show, you know, having a child, running the company, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't really work if he's a heel. So it could have been just one of those ones where he's working heel because of this situation, I think, more than anything.
Sammy Guevara called out Miro for attacking a defenseless man. Miro called him a fool. Next week, they're going to face each other for the TNT Championship. So that's coming up this Wednesday. And then there's a whole car thing that happens. My thought is this, number one, do you think Guevara wins? Let me get that answer first.
Oh, yes, I do.
You do?
I do.
I do,
because I think Miro is established enough. I don't think he needs the title anymore. I think he's established himself into like this killer character. And honestly, I think it would be good for Guevara to have a title. He hasn't had one yet. He's been kind of left in the dust with the whole MJF Jericho and the rest of the Inner Circle is kind of, I don't know, falling apart is the right phrase, but they've really been kind of pushed to the side because Jericho and MJF kind of took the stage. So I honestly could see Sammy winning it this week. Yes, I could, because I really don't think Miro needs it anymore.
I think he will be on the brink of winning. until Miss C.J. Perry shows up.
Oh, you think is this yep. is where the beautiful wife shows
yep.
up, is it?
I think
I mean,
is.
It could go that way. I mean, he talks about her in every
promo. Every promo.
But you know what? I brought up this to Joe on when we were reviewing one of the Dynamites a while ago. And I said, you know what? I would like it if she never came in and we never see the wife.
Like just Nora on Cheers.
Yes. Yes. What a great. That's a great comparison.
Old guy reference right there. Here's two old guys talking, dating back to a show from the 80s. But no, yeah. Vera. Sorry, Vera is the name
yes,
on Cheers. Vera.
Yes. Yep. Yes. I think, no, honestly, I love that idea that we never see her. As fans, we all know who she is. But I honestly, unless she wants to come in or they want to bring her in, I would rather not. I would rather we never see her and we just constantly hear about his beautiful wife and how she likes pleasure and pain.
Dan, I want to talk to you about a very touchy subject for you. It's a man who has your namesake, Dan Lambert. I heard you. Okay, hold on. I heard you get so angry about Dan Lambert using a quote from your father a few weeks ago. On, you know exactly what I'm talking. We can't say it on the air. It involves bathroom. And so you were.
He did. My dad said that all the time.
Well, go. If you're a patron, you know exactly what we're talking about right now. And if not, you should become one and go listen to all of Mouth Stuff on All Elite Weekly with Joe Aguinaldo. So anyway, Dan Lambert has finally had his gimmick progress here. And they brought in Jorge Masvidal and a whole bunch of MMA guys. Dana's got to be on board with this. I just talked to Meltzer about that. Are you okay with the way this is progressing now and Jericho getting involved with Hager? I got to say, Hager makes sense to be on the other side of this, but what do you think about what's happening with Lambert's crew?
Well, it's finally, yes, at least there's some progression. I mean, we've talked about already just today how AEW likes to let things simmer, but sometimes they let that simmer too long. And I was really getting tired of the Lambert promos. I mean, sure, he's a great promo. He knows how to deliver. He's got intensity. But I was really just tired of this, like, Coronet style, okay, this promotion's no good and it's all small guys and blah blah blah. I just got tired of it after the first week. It just really started to grate on my nerves, and it was not something I felt that we really needed. I know the inside fan loves it, but honestly, it was just irritating me. Now with the progression finally, yeah, into some matches, and we're seeing guys here, I agree with you, Hager is perfect. He has to be involved with this. He has an MMA background. I'm suspecting we see an MMA fight with Hager and one of these guys on the TV, or I don't know if it's a worked one like Pancras or something like that in the past, but I think we're going to have some sort of MMA match with Hager. The rest of it, I kind of like Jericho being involved because he has been kind of seen as the figurehead, almost father figure of the promotion, the veteran that helped them get off the ropes, kind of defends the promotion, the older guy that understands the Lambert position but kind of defends what AEW is all about. So I'm liking it now that it's finally moving ahead. I don't know how Scorpio Sky though and Ethan Page are going to do in all of this.
So we had Scorpio Sky on the show. It had to be almost 6 months ago now.
Right.
I could tell then he was not happy.
Yeah.
This is going to happen, though. You have to figure, you can't make everyone happy. Like, that is a tried and true phrase. And there's going to be guys in the dressing room that there's only so much TV time. Now, Scorpio's in a program. I think the pairing with Ethan Page is really weird. I always had. They did their best. I will give them credit for Dan Lambert justifying this by talking about both of their MMA backgrounds.
Right.
But to me, it's not the first thing I think of when I look at either one of those guys. And I also don't see those guys as a tag team together. I think that's been a very clunky booking scenario.
Yeah, it's a tough one, especially for Sky, right? Because they went through that whole thing, broke up the team, and instantly put him in another tag team. You know, yeah. Which obviously that was not what he was wanting. Obviously, he wanted to get out on his own and get involved in his own programs and start to build up his own thing. So, and that's not happening. And also, Paige is great on the microphone himself. he doesn't need mouthpiece, I don't think. I don't think he needs someone like Lambert. So it's too bad the two got stuck together in the first place, because really both of them should be on their own. And I don't know how this program helps that, because, I mean, they've even given them a name now, Men of the Year,
yeah,
as a tag team, right? So to me, that means, uh-oh, they're staying as a tag team. So you're right. You can't make everybody happy, but I feel that these guys are almost going to just be casualties of this program. And they're going to fall by the wayside, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. This is a tough one, not exactly an ideal scenario. All right, before we go, I just wanted to talk about the main event. It was a lights out match for Friday night. It's Moxley and Kingston versus Archer and Suzuki. And along with that, in an attempt to make the New York fans happy, Homicide shows up. Do we need Homicide?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I could see exactly. I mean, it fits in with that type of match. You're right. It fits for the New York crowd. Again, though, yeah, I'm not sure what happens to Homicide. I don't know if this was a one and done. He's currently, most of the time lately, he's been working with Ring of Honor. So I'm not sure if he's still involved, if this was just a quick favor from Ring of Honor or a deal between the two. But I agree. He's not big enough a name that needs to come in right now. I mean, good Lord, we've just had Punk and Danielson come in, right?
Simmer down.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, I mean, I don't like it when fans say, oh, they shouldn't take WWE guys because they've got the WWE taint. And that's bull, because that taint gets quickly washed off when they get put in programs and they get built up the way they should be. So it's not that issue, but you do have a lot of top tier talent right now. And Homicide is not top tier talent. So we'll have to see. I mean, yeah, if he's staying, I would be surprised. I honestly felt, okay, this is just a one and done, and he's kind of come in for the New York crowd and to add a little extra flavor to the end of the show. I do not suspect he's sticking around. I suspect he goes back to Ring of Honor.
All right, that wraps up our radio portion of the show tonight. Here is what we got going on there. Of course, it is a WWE pay-per-view night, so Lavransky and I are ultimately going to be very angry reviewing the Extreme Rules
show. We're going to get extreme ourselves.
We're going to be more extreme than this card, because we're about to talk about that. For patrons and for those listening on the podcast right now, we are going to give you a preview of Extreme Rules. For patrons, tonight, of course, is the after party. Please join us. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. Sign up. A link will be in your inbox, and you will get to see and hear the exclusive after party that we are doing after tonight's show. It's going to feel like the old time law days for you radio listeners.
Yeah,
so get in on it. Lavransky, thanks for doing this. We're going to be back here same time, same place on the radio for all of you next week on Sunday night's main event. Don't you dare miss it.
Brother.
Sunday night's main event is crowdfunded. You can support the show by joining our Patreon. Just visit patreon.com/SNME Radio. Patreon.com/SNME Radio.